Hello, everyone. We'll get started in just a couple of minutes. So while we're waiting for everyone to join, the agenda for today is that we have three topics. First is a subcommittee election timeline. We are required by charter to do elections once a year, and I want to talk through the process on this. And then Ramke would like to talk about cloud regions, and then I'd like to go through the Casablanca architecture recommendations. And see if we can finalize our recommendations in preparation to take this to the TSC for approval. Are there other topics that people would like to bring up if we have extra time at the end? Okay. And we'll give it just another minute or so. I know some of the other.
Hey, Chris. Sorry, this is Shakra. I was talking to mute. So, I think what we probably should entertain, and this is just a proposal, as we're discussing the Casablanca architecture, we need to be mindful of the number one feature, which is deployability. Mm-hmm. So we need to make sure, I think, on a weekly basis that whatever feature, whatever architecture proposal that we are either discussing or approving is basically going to help, is one half a step or a step forward in terms of supporting the deployability. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we are going to get to Casablanca, and we're going to be in probably the same situation that we're in right now.
Yeah. So I'm going to go through the deck that we have. Please, I'd like your comments on that. If we're missing anything to drive to deployability, then let's bring it up and make sure that we have it. We also have the check with the teams who are coming back before M3 with the API freeze, where we do the architecture review and the API review so that we can ensure that they're supporting what we need for the deployability.
Okay.
Okay, it looks like we are at critical mass, so let's get started. So the first topic is the subcommittee elections. We're required by charter to run the elections once a year. Mazin suggested to do it by the end of August, I think that's the right timing, given the TSC election composition discussion and then voting that has to happen first. So my proposal is that we're going to do nominations and election for the architecture subcommittee chair following the TSC composition. Roughly the middle of August to the end of August. It'll be 1 week for nominations. And then 1 week for voting. I will bring this up as we get closer to the time, but just for anyone who is looking at the election cycle, we'll start this as soon as the TSC composition is settled.
So, Chris, do we need to coordinate with other committees like use case committee and there are several other committees? Or do you think those could be run independently, election could be done independently?
I think the elections can be done independently. That's the way it's set up by charter. I think everybody's looking at roughly the same timeline and for the same reason. You know, Mazin put out the proposal that all the subcommittees do their elections by the end of August. And I think that we're all facing the same timeline on this. With the TSC composition, it's supposed to be roughly the next 2 weeks for nominations and then 2 weeks after that for voting. You know, that's lining up real well with that other discussion. So I think others are planning the same thing for their subcommittee elections.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Next, do we have Ramke on the line? Let's see. I don't see Ramke. So let's move on and let's go through the architecture recommendations. We can circle back to Ramke later in the call. Okay, so I want to go through it. All of you have seen these slides. I want to go through here, make sure that we're not missing anything, if we need to do any updates. We are past M1, so teams have already made their plans for what they're going to adopt. We have to be careful not to be introducing new features that where we don't have support from the project teams. But I want to make sure before we put this together for the TSC that we are capturing the consensus. If there's something we have to change in terms of the wording or something that's missing, that we put it back in. As Shakar mentioned, the focus is on deployability. We have a number of priorities that we've identified supporting that. So we'll have recommendations that follow supporting that. The architecture diagram is the same. I haven't made any updates.
Could I make one suggestion or at least
yes.
Two things, Chris?
Sure.
One is that I would rather drop this level 0 through 7 controller for STNC and FC level 4 through 7. We had that discussion for 5G. We need a single controller to support layer 1 through 7. We talked about whether that persona should be STNC or FC. We had an action item to say there was a strong leaning towards FC, but I'm in trouble because the PTLs say we don't have resources to do it in FC for Casablanca. They can do it in STNC. So I would suggest that at least for Casablanca, we just using the resources, we use STNC for 5G, but we drop the level, give a proper description, but we have a strong push to really get an alignment for Dublin to say how we are going to create control the persona in Dublin using CC SDK and what that persona would be called, whether there will be one persona or more personas. What they would be called. So I definitely want to get that thing resolved in Dublin as much as possible. But only thing that we can do for Casablanca is we have both persona and we need one persona to support 5G and only viable candidate at this point is STNC. I want to hear your take on that.
Okay, so let me put this out to the whole committee. What do we think about dropping those notes? from SDNC and APC. Are people comfortable with that change?
And, hey, Vimal, sorry, Chris. Hey, Vimal, yeah. I think that's the right approach, right? Given to where we are.
Thank you.
I believe this is the right approach. Let's come back in Dublin and then take our time in trying to basically flush out or identify all the options and collectively as a team trying to see how we want to move forward.
Yeah, and Jagan, thank you, and I agree. It won't be just the FC and SDNC, but also as part of Dublin, how do we make this platform more modular, more agile, and more
Okay.
So all that discussion, but the controller will be in front of that.
And I'm in full agreement. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Any other thoughts?
So the proposal is to remove layer 0 to layer 3 and 4 to 7. That's
for,
it.
For SDNC and APC. Yeah.
For the persona that we will use for 5G will be called SDNC, and we need to enhance the documentation to properly document that fact.
In Vimal, I mean, we'll work together, right? So for on the 5G use case to see what is the best approach that we can use to support 5G in Casablanca, right? That's not an issue at all. Okay.
Not sure. This is a generic architecture, right? If it is a generic architecture, I wonder why are you removing a little block over here? You think you don't need it?
Well, I think that distinction is really not that, it's sometimes hard to make that distinction. As I said, for 5G use case, we could use one of the two persona to support 1 to 7 all the way. We won't have a single controller for a given network element. Having two controllers control the same network element.
I see. So then you have one SDN -C. You don't have the L0, L3 type of stuff. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yes.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, thank you.
Okay, any other thoughts on this before we move on? Great. So the next one is the real-time streaming and microservices. So we recommended enhancements to DCAE and DMAP around real-time streaming.
Only thing is that I think the Flink, adding Flink has been descoped at this point. But the bulk data collection and the streaming data collection is still in scope. That's
right. Yeah. Do we still want to recommend Flink, even if it's not implemented in Casablanca? If it would be implemented in Dublin beyond, is this still the recommendation from our committee that this is the right direction?
I believe so, Chris. I think Flink is definitely... So we are not saying that there's only one streaming analytic framework. Mm-hmm. Flink is, in everybody's view, is kind of a leader. So we will have that, but there will be option for people to use other streaming frameworks. So we might have Spark but Flink would be a one of the options.
Yeah, Vimal, that is with the Akka and Beam last time you agreed to that.
Those would be development tools, so yeah, so we use Beam to do the create the
yes.
And the runner would be the Flink runner.
Well, that is deferred to Dublin altogether, correct or no?
Yeah, that's what Chris is saying, that even though it's deferred to Dublin, but from the architecture point of view, we still think that Flink is the right platform to include in these.
Yes, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
This is Arash here. So what about PNDA? PNDA is being added in Casablanca, is that correct?
I don't think so. Panda was supposed to come in Beijing and it didn't come, and I don't know if Panda is committed. I'm not aware of Panda being included in Casablanca.
I have not seen it in any of the project plans, and it wasn't something we discussed on the architecture subcommittee. So I don't think that it's currently...
No. No, this is Margaret. No. I think they're relying on us, and we're not there yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Chris, a kind of question for the DCAE team. because they are showing Panda as one of the building blocks. We need to make sure that they understand this.
We need to fix the picture because as Margaret said, it's not there, and I don't believe there is any plan to. I haven't seen any plan. I'm not saying that I'm opposed to it or for it, but I haven't seen any plan that Panda would be included in Casablanca.
Okay. Do we want to say the wiki page should be updated, or that doesn't matter? Yeah,
we should update the picture, but I just want to ask Chris, is that your understanding as well, Chris?
That we haven't committed it. Yeah, that's my understanding as well. That it was something that was talked about as potentially future, but no one has committed resources to implementing that.
Yeah. No, I'll send mail to the key folks. I know the folks. I'm pretty sure we just haven't had the resources yet. So I'll send mail to the people to verify it.
Okay.
So the only framework is the existing CDAP framework then?
No, CDAP was also dropped. I don't believe that CDAP is...
But CDAP is there today, isn't it?
It could be optional. I have to check with them because we simplified DCAE. One of the simplification was to drop CDAP as a mandatory.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes, CDAP is there, yeah. Arash is right. Vimal, we need to clarify that, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so let's move on then to microservices. What we've been talking about within architecture is identifying, harmonizing the common components. OOM is doing that with a number of databases and what we've talked about with the functional decomposition. Alex and Steve and a few others were going to go off and start doing the mapping inside of projects. So we'll get some of this progress in Casablanca, but there's more that's necessary. We're going to do a face-to-face later in this cycle after the small team does their homework. We also said initial support for Kubernetes VNFs in multi-vim, multi-cloud. The Spinnaker piece of OPNFV Clover in the CD pipeline, and this is something that integration has committed to. Regarding Istio and Service Mesh, there's interest, and we discussed it a few times on our calls here, but we don't have consensus, and so there's no recommendation for Casablanca, but that leaves it to projects that they can experiment on their own. Any questions or comments?
The last statement is somewhat open in the sense that people can experiment, but there is no commitment, there is no consensus. We don't want things to break in the sense that if everybody is expecting to use their own MSP, and they use MSP and logging that overlaps with Istio, we want to make sure that we have a consistency. So doing a POC outside the main stream or main branch of ONAP, I'm okay. But the main branch of ONAP should be clean, and there should be no issue with that.
Yeah, so we don't want to block people starting to work on this.
I know.
Yeah. And I think that was the case. There were a couple of specific projects, such as MSB, that had thoughts around Istio. We're an advisory body, we're not going to dictate exactly what they can or can't do. What we're saying on this particular topic is that we don't have any advice for the projects that we talked about it. Definitely there was interest here, but we need to do some more work before we start rolling this out to other projects. I think for the time being, there's just some small scale work within MSB potentially just as you say, POCs and some of the other projects.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. But what I'm saying is, what I'm thinking is that no project or let's say whether it's a controller or SO should assume that Istio is doing logging. They don't have to do logging because Istio is not their main branch. They might do it some fog and experimentation to see how viable and how effective Istio is. But all every other project should assume that they are using the MSV and doing their own logging using our common log.
Right.
So Bimal, this is Ramki. Let me clarify that. So logging, absolutely, yes, you're spot on. That will continue. The main purpose of trying to introduce issues to solve two problems. The number one, I would say, is more around encrypted communications between each of the microservices, so that Istio can really help. So number two is more of the RBAC. So in fact, the number one is the highest priority as per coming from the security recommendations.
Ramki, if we use, there should be a parallel mechanism for supporting security. So the point is that not everybody assumes that Istio is there, Istio is the main branch. If they're using MSB, they have to use the common encryption using AAF as the main flow.
Yeah, Vimal, I guess, I don't know if Steve is on vacation, but he agreed that the AAF, the CA for AAF is going to be used and linked to STU CA. That was the agreement. Okay.
I just don't want to keep, take everybody's time, but I think it's important that people should. I think it's very clear that we are saying so for MSP and experiment with Istio, but people should not assume that Istio is there, and therefore we should meet all the security requirement, logging requirement, without having a dependency or assumption of Istio.
Yeah, Vimal, this is Munish here, standing in for Steve. Of course, when it comes to security, I don't have, the complete view. But like, I agree with you, but then if we actually go that way, then we'll never be able to actually embrace technology like this.
And I agree that what I'm saying, that if there's a consensus, we need to build a consensus and demonstrate that Istio has a lot of value and do that, but don't count on it.
So I think I think the reason maybe that consensus wasn't built was, I think, sort of when service mesh was presented, people had the impression that it was solving several problems. But I think if you go back and say this is the very specific problem you're solving with respect to security, I don't think that'll be perceived as, going like solving them, basically just stepping in too much, right? I mean, trying to solve way too many problems, jumping in too early, right? I think that's the key.
And that could be the case that's what we end up doing in Dublin and beyond. But I think for Casablanca, every team is assuming Istio might not, Istio is not present.
Fair point, Vimal. So the only thing, based on our analysis, we also realized that, I mean, suppose we did playing devil's advocate, we assume nothing happens, right? I mean, around security front and Istio, but then just meeting that security requirement itself is much, much harder, right? Given where things are with AAF, and Istio will play a wrong role in assisting. So Istio has a mode where actually you can just, you don't even need to create new templates for enabling zero trust mutual TLS between microservices. You can actually just, with a few commands, you can get it going on an existing microservice. There's those possibilities, right? It can really simplify things.
So this is Shakir. So let me make sure. I think I understood Vimal's concerns, right? So there are a few capabilities, right, that we can implement with ISDTIO. We need to make sure that if we implement some of the capabilities, let's say, for example, I'm going to take pick one, service identity and security. So if you implement it on one side of the API and you don't implement it on the other side of the API, then you break things.
So but I think what Ramki is proposing is just use it internally within MSB, isn't it?
So basically use MSB to enable, again, be very specific, enabled for solving the security problem, which is coming out as a mandatory requirement, if I'm not mistaken.
But then when there is a client to MSB, then they would still use AF for authentication, authorization, isn't it, Ramki? They would not use it.
That is correct. So the only thing we're turning on is the mutual TLS is where sort of Istio helps. Yeah. Making it simple between microservices, how you enable it by default.
So basically what Ramki is proposing is, you know, having a well-contained, usage of Istio within MSP, and like whether MSP uses Istio or not is not visible to any other project. Other projects just assume that nothing has changed. And if that actually works, then, in Dublin, it can be actually used in a wider range within ONAP. Maybe that is what is being.
And that's fine, right? That's fine. I'm not suggesting that we shouldn't do that, but I think that's what you just said is slightly different than what Chris described in the red bullet item, right? If you leave it wide open, then people would modify the code, put the code in the main branch, and then you run the risk of breaking something. But if you want to make it well contained per Ramki's description, and you can guarantee that there's zero impact on the components that may not comply, then I think that should be okay.
I think that's exactly the point we are trying to make. And yeah. I think to Chris, if you can say that, okay, it's MSB would do a limited auth. And other versions are not impacted, then that is very clear message that yes, it's there is no impact.
Does this work? Did I capture the consensus?
Yes. Yes. Perfect. Yeah, perfect. Thank you.
Can I add just one more point? I keep mentioning this, but it's not just that projects can experiment with Istio. It's that ONAP has no control over what an operator, a user of ONAP will do. So a certain operator might have a DevOps team that say, hey, we want to run all our containers with Istio, and they can do that with or without permission or recommendation from ONAP. It's up to them which Kubernetes distribution they want to use, et cetera. So they can decide to use that and for their own uses. So I think at best, we should at least be prepared for it and have some testing information, some instructions. So it's not so much a matter of ONAP relying on it as just being aware that it exists and have some experience with it.
And I think that's what we're trying to get to in Casablanca, is at least a little bit of familiarity with it that we can build on in the future. But we don't have a firm recommendation for it at this time because there isn't solid consensus in the committee. So I think we just want to be careful about how much we state, but Tal, you're absolutely right. If someone wants to go beyond the recommendations here and put something else in, certainly as people are implementing this in their production environments, they're going to change it however they need to. That's understood.
Yeah. I think you made a good point, but I just want to make sure I understand your point. I think there is a separation between using Istio on the platform in ONAP versus using Istio between VNFs.
Is anybody talking about VNFs?
No, I don't think that was what Tal was saying. Tal was saying so an operator can download ONAP and they can, instead of our implementation, they can put in Istio and use that as a mechanism to deploy ONAP components. That is which
I see. So would you foresee an ISP doing this outside the ONAP certification, if you will, or outside the ONAP scope? I'm trying to understand how that can be done
Well, it's part of your infrastructure. You know, say an operator wants to run on Google Kubernetes or on Red Hat's OpenShift or on Rancher, or they choose some sort of infrastructure provider for their Kubernetes platform. There's mm-hmm. no real raw Kubernetes. As part of that, they'll have all kinds of interesting features that provider gives them. And one of them could be service mesh with various configurations. So it's kind of up to them. It doesn't have to impact ONAP development in any way. I'll just mention regarding VNFs, I'm not talking about VNFs at all. I don't think anybody here really is, but I will mention, in case people are interested, that there is a project going on called Network Service Mesh, mm-hmm. which is about specifically thinking about something like Istio, not Istio specifically, but for the data plane. So having some of the advantages that we see that Istio provides the control and management plane to also see them in VNFs. This is still very early work and have to say a little bit controversial in some places, but something that people in ONAP might be wanting to look at for the future. But that's not on the table at all right now.
Okay.
Just wanted to add a comment. So an operator can obviously do whatever they want, but as far as I know, ONAP is tested and certified with, as far as OOM is concerned, with a specific version of Kubernetes and Helm and all that. So if they go their own way, then they are on their own. So
that's a good point.
Okay, anything else on this point before we move on? Okay, APIs. So this is from the external API project. Mev support for Legato and Interlude. Interlude is the new functionality for this release, and I know that's a stretch goal. And for TNF, it's the northbound interface and west-east API. And so it's service catalog 633, service inventory 638, and service order 641. API improvements we want to use Swagger, aligned with the published data model and messages exchanged in JSON, and versioning support. More detail of this is in the S3P deck, the specific levels, but I wanted to point here because this is something we've talked about within the architecture calls, specifying the versioning. Any questions or comments on this slide? Okay, moving on. PNFs, controllers, and CPUs. So PNF support and physical network discovery, enhancements to CCSDK, view model along the lines of what you talked about earlier.
We might have to modify that sentence, generic networking. The CCSDK driven, but this remove the controller for persona support, single control persona. Use single control person to support layer 1 through 7.
So you want me to say use
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, as long as it's understood that that's like a sort of a limited context. Right, I mean, okay. We do have a 5G, but we're not reverse engineering the.
The work. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So, Dan, is there something that we should put in here to clarify it?
No. I mean, I'm okay with that. It just maybe for I don't know. I don't know if you want to say for 5G. I'm just worried if we.
Yeah.
I kind of want to clear the can of worms. I don't want to get into.
Yeah, no.
We have this war again.
Yeah. Okay.
But is it 5G PNFs or 5G?
5G all elements, so it could be Raghu, it could be 5G CU or DU, but that's the key thing that we want to use in the controller person.
Oh, got it. Okay, Vimal, but are in ONAP community, are we using the term 5G for the wireless layer, for example? It does not include an Ethernet transport layer or anything else. Is that correct?
Well, it does include.
So let me rephrase. How can I best rephrase? So the word 5G could include all aspects of the network, from the cell site to the, or from the UE to the core DC, for example. It could include everything in reality if you just say 5G, right?
So 5G use case scope is, right now the way it's defined, is RAN. That include the DU, CU, and everything that we need for the DU and CU. That could include configuration of the radio configuration, like what we call front haul between DU and RU. That is in scope, but the core was already, I think that was the point that Dan was trying to make, that we don't want reverse engineer and say for core, which EPC core was supported through FC, that doesn't change. That would still continue to FC. You'll use a single persona for 5G use case where the scope is limited to RAN.
Right. Okay, and then the general question is, the general question is that the single controller persona would be in the context of 5G RAN, but you're not excluding for other pieces of the 5G, right?
That's right. Right now we are not, but I think what we are saying is that for Casablanca, we are limiting that scope this way, and we will clean this up in Dublin to make sure that we have a much clean controller description.
Okay, and since the title says Casablanca recommendation, maybe it's worthwhile to say 5G RAN?
Yeah.
Hey, Vimal, would it be more appropriate description to say create the 5G persona using a 5G directed graphs or 5G specific directed graphs?
It's more than directed graph. It's
plus artifacts.
Yeah. Leave it. I think we don't have to get into the all the details. I think this line captures nicely that we have one person up for 5G.
Okay.
And then the last thing here is the multi-CPU architecture, which was incorporated into integration as a sub-project. Doing the Docker template support.
So let me ask a question, Chris, on this one. Mm-hmm. Are we planning to test on multiple CPU, Intel versus ARM, or are we going to say we are going to create Dockers using this new approach, which reduces the size, but we might only test on Intel CPU? What is the scope for this one?
It's a little bit of both. Intel is going to be the standard part of the CI pipeline. In the integration labs, but ARM is donating resources, so there will be an ARM test bed, then we'll at least be able to do periodic spot checks to make sure that the components work on ARM as well.
Okay.
Is Adolfo on? Anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, the only thing I will add, Vimal, is that the Docker containers are by definition multi-CPU architecture. So the original building blocks we're using to create our containers and microservices already support multi-CPU. So we're just bringing it to our environment.
Yeah, my question was to what are we going to test? And I think Chris and you clarified that we will, the mainstream would be still Intel, but we'll try to test in parallel ARM.
Exactly. There will be a parallel CI pipeline that can be used to test the ARM and along Intel.
Okay.
Yep. Okay. Anything else on this slide before we move on? Okay. SO, SDC, and ETSI support. for SDC, here are some issues to support. This is mostly on their roadmap or committed plan. And here's SO as well. The last one is the ONAP to leverage EDC-SOL specifications. And then we just called out four that we're expecting throughout this release. Any questions or comments? Yeah.
Yeah. Do we mean SOL 001 and SOL 004 for onboarding?
Yeah. Yes, for paging and VNF description 001 and 004. They both should be together, but that's.
Yeah, they should be together, and it should say for onboarding.
It should specifically for VNF onboarding, not network service.
Right.
I hope, having it in the last slide doesn't have any indication on the priority for Casablanca.
No.
Okay.
No, this isn't a priority. This is just capturing everything.
Everything. Okay, good. Yeah, because this being a life startup, I'm a bit worried it might get deprioritized if that doesn't work.
So tell me about the SOL 005 with VFCF SO. You might tell me that was a Beijing deliverable. We've already done that. Is this extending it?
That's already part of, yes, the Beijing release. But we're just saying that we maintain that support going forward. So it's just calling out that we're using Etsy.
I see. Okay, cool. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay, anything else on this before we move on?
Yes, Chris, this is Shocker. So do we have an impact assessment from, let's say, SO and the SDN controller on this? I mean, regarding this feature, the implementing is SOL 001, SOL 004.
That's more for onboarding, and so I don't think it impacts SO or controller. It's more for packaging and how we onboard.
Right. It's VNF SDK and SDC.
So SDC is going to make, sorry, there's a bit of noise. Go ahead, Rogo, sorry.
No, I was just, Chakra, I was just adding for that first bullet, I think the impact is on the SDC.
So the assumption is that SDC would make all these checks. Somebody's running water in the background. So the assumption over here is that SDC would basically handle the translation from SOL 001, SOL 004, and would maintain the same, if you will, the same artifacts or the same format that would pass on to
SDN controller. It's not saying anything about the internal model.
Okay.
Here we're saying that we're applying SOL 001, 004 for onboarding, but we're discussing maintenance of the artifacts now in the modeling group, and also what the internal ONAP data model should look like.
Okay. This is purely related to VNF SDK.
And SDC, and this is
onboarding. It's onboarding at Chakra as well. So when we upload those artifacts into SDC, they will be in SOL 001 and 004 form.
Okay. And SDC is okay with it, right? Michael is okay with it? Okay.
Yeah.
Good. All right.
And then the way SDC talks to SO, that's to be decided kind of thing, is it? Or that's settled also?
Well, that's what I'm trying to probe, right? Because SDC ultimately is going to create the CSAR that's going to be basically parsed by each and every component, right?
Yeah, so the modeling's working on the internal data model now and what that should look like, and we're working on a recommendation for that.
So the
VNF vendor is going to supply the VNF with the SOL 004 packaging and then SOL 001 VNFD, and that gets onboarded into SDC, and then from that point, SDC maps it to whatever the internal model is and sends it on to the other components.
Whatever is the existing model, right?
Yeah, using Purvis system internally, it could be all pineapples.
So So I'm,
okay, so we're not targeting SO to be HC compliant or, you know, SOL 001 compliant at least. That's not a wish for Casablanca at least.
The modeling committee still hasn't resolved what the internal model looks like.
Yeah, Raghu, you really like pineapple. That's good.
So SO is not necessarily compliant, but VFC will be, just to clarify?
Yes.
Or
VFC supports the SOL 001 and can ingest the VNF packed in 004.
Okay. So maybe it's worth adding this as a note because it may clear off any confusion, especially to people who are jumping in. Right.
It seems to me that we need to get, you know, Sashu's take on it, right? I mean, just to make sure that he's okay with it. And then...
Well, right now it says nothing about the internal model of SO or of VFC or of anything. I think it's, the intent is that it's silent on those.
Okay, so should we list that as a bullet item? Assumption is that there is zero impact on the existing ONAP components?
Just that's actually coming from the modeling subcommittee.
That's right. We are not saying that zero impact, but whatever modeling committee decide as the internal model is what will support it.
So should we say pending modeling committee?
No, this is the external facing view. So what we're saying to the VNF vendors is use SOL 001 and SOL 004, and we're going to use that for VNF onboarding. And then what goes through the rest of the system, we'll leave to modeling define that piece.
So maybe part of what's causing the confusion is that the first two bullets are statements about ONAP at the edges, and the third bullet is an internal API. So maybe we if we organize the bullets like, you know, at the edges, VNF onboarding at the edges, plugged in VNFM, internal API, VFC SO, is just to make it clear that the first two bullets say nothing about the internals of ONAP. Only the third one says something about the internals of ONAP.
So does this capture it? Is this clear?
No. Don't say at the edge. So say external to ONAP, in parentheses, external to ONAP.
Yeah, you're right. The word edge is already taken.
You're
right, yeah.
And the second sub-bullet also is external to ONAP, meaning it is southbound from ONAP, for example, right? So it's, say, external to ONAP. And just put the same copy-paste parenthesis there, exactly.
And that second bullet is both for RAPC and VFC, or is it just for VFC?
That's for SO.
SO, okay. Then,
And also VFC. Because VFC has the VNFM support as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And if you could please, Chris, use the same format for the third sub-bullet and say internal to ONAP, but you may want to constrain it for STC to ONAP, STC to VFC.
But this does allow VFC to be used externally, isn't it? If there is a alternative to SO, which is SOL 005 compliant, they can use VFC.
Yes.
So it's of course internal, but it can be externalized as well.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying that VFC is an entry point into ONAP. SO is not the only entry point to ONAP. You're saying VFC is an entry point into ONAP?
I'm not saying that. It's of course, you know, right now it is, but you know, having SOL 005 support in VFC, you know, allows you to do that if somebody wishes to use VFC alone.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, it may be only semantics, but should we say SO to VFC instead of VFC to SO?
By the way, is it an internal API model or is it an internal VFC model?
That's how we're defining the interface between SO and VFC.
Yeah.
How? Okay.
Chris, I have a question here. This SOVFC, if it's internal to ONAP, there is nothing to recommend. That's at the discretion of the PTL and the implementation, correct?
Well, it's still cross-project, so that's why it comes to architecture for recommendation.
But Chris, this is what we have between SO and VFC since Amsterdam. There's nothing new here.
Right, right. Okay, anything else on this slide before we move on? Okay, and then modularity, functional decomposition. I'll take this out of the deck for the TSC, but we didn't reach consensus for Casablanca, and we do have a number of people who are going off to do work on this. We'll have a face-to-face meeting later in the release, roughly September, and we'll get more concrete plans for Dublin. Anything else either that's missing or that anyone wants to comment on?
So, Chris, after this presentation, networking coming from, I mean, what you presented long back in Paris and also key Tiger team input, we may have an additional line.
Okay. So why don't we do this? I'll flip to you, Ramke, and then we can come back to this if we want to add from the cloud region. Okay.
But that would be, again, post Casablanca, Ramke, the changes.
We'll go through the deck. It's something we have already seen, but sort of just putting all the pieces together.
Okay, let me turn it over to you then.
Okay. One second. So, are you able to see my screen?
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, it's a little vertically aligned deck because sort of we wanted to get the Gliffy diagram, which is verticalized, so we went this format. I hope you can see it. So essentially, where is this contribution coming from? Substantial Tiger team discussions, and in fact, face-to-face at Beijing summit. And also, we did present some of these early ideas back in ONAP Paris itself, right, around architectural options for multi-vendor SDN controller and multi-cloud, how things are going to align. That the presenter is, in fact, Dan. So with that, the next slide, one second, let me try to go to slideshow. Will make it any better. Okay. Oh, okay. So now I don't know how to, I'll just stay with the other mode. We can. So this is all, I mean, all this is trying to do, this is nothing new, all from the ONAP edge scoping Gliffy, right? So what this is really trying to say is where we are with Casablanca MVP and then beyond Casablanca. So option A, if you really look at left side, is just straightforward. It's exactly like today, the edge cloud regions are treated no different than, you know, standard, you know, today's cloud regions. That means basically we're just solving a standard data center problem. Nothing new there, right? That is what we're focused on as far as Casablanca goes.
Would you mind zooming in a bit? It's hard to read.
So that's the part. One second. Oh shoot. Okay. So.
That's actually better. Yeah.
So I'm not able to zoom. Yeah, okay.
He wants us to test our eyes.
Is this better?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so now what we're really saying is this is what our MVP is. That means we're just solving a standard data center problem. Nothing, no changes in how the way cloud regions are represented today. Nothing of 5G or edge or distributed data centers being introduced, right? It's exactly the same. And there, all we are doing is just how things are aligned with respect to other components, this is today's standard way in which things will be connected, right? And moving forward, then we've kept option B as a stretch goal for Casablanca, where we are potentially bringing some components to the edge, right? Where essentially that means some parts of OneApp are running on the edge. That is this blue box here, as you can see. And then later, at a future time, we are looking at essentially full-blown orchestration in the edge, where it could be that the some parts of the orchestration are solved by the cloud provider. That's one option. The other option is, of course, OneApp itself solving some other problems. But again, it's all future. So now mapping it to...
So, Ramki, I'm sorry. So the maybe you're getting ready to answer that. The arrows, I couldn't tell where each of them terminated. Does the purple arrow terminate on just the blue box OneApp, or does it terminate on some specific component? And the same with the
no,
black.
No, it's blue.
Box. It's just we don't know where it's alternating, which components are talking. We haven't decided all that stuff. Yeah.
Exactly. And the generic NFC arrow, is that
correct?
Configuring the VNF application, or what is that?
Yeah. So on the left hand side, I have shown only a few APIs. Each of those components could have multiple. Some of them could have interactions. All I'm focused on is multi-cloud is setting up the infrastructure, and the generic NFC is managing the lifecycle of the VNF, but the other aspects are not shown in this diagram to avoid clutter.
And you have DCIE collecting, so those are the two key.
Exactly, so two key aspects I'm just showing as an example, but there are other aspects that could be expanded for detail.
I see. So it seems like, to me, the generic NFC might be considered clutter because that's just part of lifecycle management. So you're saying you could remove the black line to generic NFC and it wouldn't really affect the edge aspects of this picture, right?
Correct. Exactly. Okay. Yeah. Just okay. Shown as an example. And then eventually, when we go to the far right, we might have a complete understanding of all the possible interactions we may want.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, cool. Thank you.
And again, just to be clear, Gil, there is nothing edgy here. It's just standard data center representations,
It could be an edge or it could be a call, looking at. But the context is that it's interacting with some cloud domain, cloud region. Okay. Mm-hmm. And if you go down to the... sequence diagram, the high-level sequence diagram. We are not focused on all the other stuff. Right now, Ramki is just focused on one aspect, which is if OneApp wants to deploy something, what is the interaction within OneApp between SO and multi-cloud? And he's just focused on that one aspect in the workflow that he's going to talk about.
Okay, excellent. So essentially, what we are looking at this workflow, this is again all in detail. This workflow is expressed in detail in the Casablanca MEP requirements as part of Edge, right? But one of the key, essentially going back, right? So what were we trying to do here? So let me go back and share the other screen. The summary is well described, maybe even better. So we looked at several. So this is one of the key items you're working on. So just to sort of really summarize, the value we're bringing is we're looking at solving a problem beyond edge. Essentially, what we are trying to solve is improve the workload deployability by avoiding exposure of cloud-specific capabilities to several OneApp components. Right, basically all the cloud details are all handled in the multi-cloud layer, and thus addressing the separation of concerns. And also critically, there has been strong interest in expanding the capacity check besides capability check, especially for HPA resources. As you may know, the work we have done in HPA so far has been around just looking at more of capability. I mean, as you may know, when it comes to platform awareness and resources, simple example is SRAOV, right? It's not an infinite resource. There are a finite number of virtual functions, right, which the hardware can support. But right now, we are not accounting for it, you know, when we actually do a placement, right? More a fine-grained placement through OOF. So the idea is find a way of, repressing the capacity check, but not expose everything to ONAP, how we handle that in the multi-cloud layer itself. And of course, also, as part of the workload deployability, we want to make sure whatever proposal we're putting together applies to both VMs and containers, because containers is a path forward for us, key path forward for us. And essentially, what it really comes is two things, assisting OOF in target cloud region selection for VNF placement or homing by summarizing, the cloud specific capability, capacity, and cost metrics, right? And basically what we realized was if you have an intent, for example, such as you want to achieve infra HA for VMs in a VNF, then this function itself could cost different. I mean, depends on, depending on private cloud or public cloud, right? So that's another aspect we'll factor into the cost factor into homing and placement. And
also, let me make sure I'm following the capacity, Ramke. So you're saying that ONAP would maintain a summary of the capacity of the cloud.
I'm not saying that, Gil. So basically, still there is nothing. So the capabilities will be maintained by ANDI, but we are not trying to say that, hey, we'll have the full inventory in ONAP. Definitely not. All that inventory is still maintained in the cloud itself, that rightfully it should be. But the question is, no, given that landscape, how do you bring value through to ONAP in terms of, you know, the rightful fine-grained placement for network functions? So that's sort of where essentially the multi-cloud layer will, you know, talk to the specific cloud region and be able to summarize that information in the capacity check in form of a net value, right? That's a key difference. So we're not trying to bring in, like, push all the resources up into ANDI or other ONAP modules, you know, not that route. So the separation of concerns is clearly maintained.
Yeah. Let me make sure. So I've heard some folks argue that there ought to be a summary of a cloud's capacity, an abstraction in ANAI. I'm trying to figure out, is that what you're proposing here, or are you proposing that we would just, that through multi-cloud, ONAP would ask the cloud, hey, do you have capacity?
That's the latter. Cloud of capacity, yes, exactly. And also now meaningfully able to summarize it, right, when to OOF, because OOF is the one which will really use it to, bring high value. The other components are not really. Yeah.
Multi-cloud will summarize to OOF.
And so OOF basically would have an objective inventory of the cloud. So is the assumption that the cloud is dedicated to ONAP and there are no other, I'm trying to understand your proposal. So I think what you're saying is the cloud is assumed to be, ONAP's the only user of the cloud. And so that if we ask the cloud, tell me what your capacity is, then the cloud can provide back some information, multi-cloud could summarize that, and OOF can maintain it and be assured that no one else is going to steal this capacity. And OOF is now responsible for allocating that capacity. Is that the assumption?
And so in the private cloud scenario, yes, the full cloud is dedicated, but if you go to public cloud, as long as you have pre-reserved certain resources, for example, Amazon, you go to create a VPC and you say, hey, I'm guaranteed this capacity. Then we'll work on that minimum guarantee, right? That's a guaranteed resource, and then work on top of it, right?
But you should be able to dynamically request like Amazon or Azure. Do you have, what is your available capacity at this location at this point in time? Because you can't always say that it's pre-registered or pre-allocated.
No, no, totally, Vimal. So also trying to address both sides.
Hold on. So you can't arbitrarily ask AWS what is the available capacity in a region. All you can say is, I want 10 VMs or EC2 instances, and the request can be accepted or rejected.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. Meaning, you AWS is assumed to have an infinite resource. They may constrain your request with a response by saying, well, you've asked for 1 million vCPUs. Sorry, get lost.
The point I'm making, Raghu, is that we should, it's not the one scenario which I think what Gil was describing was that we get that information a priori in multi-cloud and use that. I'm saying that sometime you dynamically go and request it. I want 10 server, do we have 10 server, even though we have the contract and all the equipment, but they might not have 10 server that I'm looking for.
Sure, sure. Yeah, and I think we want, I think the model that Ramki is driving at is request the capabilities in terms of how much vCPU or how much memory or storage. And it might be one of two options, right? One is it returns back how many standard instances you have as part of your account. I don't think Ramki has addressed your second part or Gil's part question, which is an open-ended request for give me 20 VMs.
Vimal, the goal is sort of to start small because right now, when it comes to workload deployments, we're really looking at the first shot is at private cloud, right? So basically where we say, if you go back to OpenStack, it'll be sort of a quota, right? There is some tenant with a quota and now how you consume it. So even in public cloud, we are sort of looking at that model as a starting point, where of course the quota size could be much bigger, right? And then now what you're really saying is the next step that how you expand that quota itself, correct? Right, Vimal?
Yeah, I was also, maybe it's too complicated. They would say, even though we say that we can go up to 10 servers or 15 servers at AWS, AWS probably has oversubscribed the sense that they told AT&T you can have 10 servers, told Verizon you can have 10 servers, but they only have 12 servers. So when you go and say, get me 10 servers, it could say, no, I don't have this.
Right, so that's exactly why we thought a starting point is like we align to sort of a private cloud where we say, a good example is Amazon VPC, right, where we come back and say, here is what my baseline is. And then now we work off that, very similar to private cloud. And like you exactly said, then the next goal is like, how do we take real advantage of the public cloud, right, the next step. Correct. We're going step by step.
So the question is, what is the entity that you're talking to in the AWS and in the firewall?
Say that again, Mehmet. Say that again.
You have your own app. Now you need to communicate with AWS. What is the entity that you're talking to in the AWS site?
In this sequence diagram, if you're referring to the sequence diagram, look at the last line that says, no, don't scroll up, go up, Ramki, to the yellow box.
Yeah.
Ramki,
which one do you want to?
The yellow box at the top, there. Yeah. And you see the cloud region at the last, that cloud region is represented by some entity like AWS endpoint to which ONAP interacts with, for example. Or it could be an internal private cloud, OpenStack cloud within Verizon, for example. So
but you see, Raghu, we have...
Mehmet, let me try to answer your question. You are asking which specific entity we are thinking now, right, within AWS or Azure. So specifically on that, our initial starting point would be sort of a tenant, right? It's a virtual resource where you can say, hey, I have this much capacity, I can work on it, and how that is being used, like Amazon VPC or... You're equivalent to tenant in Azure.
Ramki, this is not a generic example. This is one of the practices. That's why we have this LSO concept in the MES, that you have a orchestrator on one side, talking to another orchestrator on the other side. You may have one app on your side, the other side may not have the one app. This is not a generic architecture. It could be one example. I wouldn't disagree with it, and that's the practice I know it's been done today.
So sorry, Mehmet. I don't understand your comment at all. I don't know if you're...
The architecture is not generic enough. That's what I'm pointing out.
Okay, so let's not talk about the... This is talking about the sequence of workflows within ONAP from policy to the GNF controller boxes and ONAP talking to a cloud region, okay? So this is just talking about sequence of events.
So where is the cloud region? What is the answer to that you're talking in the cloud region?
We are not representing what the entity is within cloud region. If you want it to be an orchestrator, so be it. If you want it to be some supersonic pigeon, so be it. We are not talking about what it is inside cloud region.
You have to name it. Right? If you're talking to another entity, you have to name that entity. Whatever you call it, you want to call it, what you have to name them.
That's
you
a cannot fair point.
Say, Let me finish. You cannot assume that the ONAP is control of the AWS resources, control of your private resources so that you can manage them. I don't think that's a right assumption.
No, we are not assuming that. We are assuming that the ONAP talks to a cloud region orchestrator or controller, whatever it is.
Why is that in this diagram? If it is cloud region orchestrated, why don't you put it on the diagram saying you are talking to the cloud region orchestrator? I don't see that on that.
Yeah, we showed it in the other diagram. We didn't include it here, but we can include it.
I see.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Hey, Ramke, a question. Maybe I should know the answer, but I don't remember it. You might have answered it before. What is the policy box right before SO?
Policy box, sorry, there.
Keep going up. One? Look for the SO box, the yellow box, yellowish box, right before that. What is the policy?
Woof does is it pitches the relevant policy for the service instance. That's the policy context.
That's the OOF policy. Okay.
Yes. And that is an existing workflow like today. It's not anything new.
Okay.
Deployment constraints, Ms. Hacker. So say I need affinity, anti-affinity, or location, or latency. Those are the requirements. So.
And policy, is policy part of the service design creation?
Yes, that's where you define the...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Fine. Thank you.
Okay. So following, maybe we are just step through this. So a request came in from SO to SO asking to instantiate a service instance. And maybe that service instance requires, five CPUs and SRIOB, whatever. So is the request that goes to the cloud region, do you have five CPUs, or did a prior request go to the cloud region that says, hey, I need 100 CPUs and I'll allocate them. They're sort of mine and in ONAP, they're sort of ONAPs and ONAP is going to allocate them.
This is a problem. We are not solving this problem new, right? So the reason for bringing OOF is to make sure that, hey, we have enough capacity for placing the right resource in the cloud region. Right? That's the whole reason for OOF. So that's sort of where we go through, the request goes to OOF from SO, then OOF does a capacity check and then reports back that, hey, here is the target. I mean, there are several potential cloud regions and here is a target cloud region based on capacity, other capabilities, cost metrics. And then SO decides to place the VNF on that specific target cloud region. Correct. And, that part is the basic workflow is still the same. So what we are introducing is basically additional policy constraints on this. So one is more of sort of an intent expression saying that, hey, for example, some examples here. So one example intent could be infra HA for VMs and a VNF, right? Correct. So the goal is to make sure that this part, this is again cloud specific. The key question is why should even the VNF be aware of this? So all I want to realize, I just want infra HA for VMs, right? So in OpenStack, it means high availability would mean anti-affinity rules, right? Whereas in Azure, it's fault domain, correct? And as you know, different cloud providers have different costs for realizing this. We'll also make sure
you know, as part of the objective function or a net value which is returned by multi-cloud, we are factoring this. So basically, we're evaluating this policy along with capacity also for each of the cloud regions, and we return a net value to OOF, and OOF will pick the target cloud region with the, you know, the minimum.
So I guess what I'm confused on is you're mixing capacity, which dynamically changes, with capabilities, which are relatively fixed, right? I mean, you know, either I support HA or I don't. That's something that's
true. Gil, the key is, the mission statement, okay. So Gil, we have to go back to the mission statement of OOF. OOF is targeted to solve a multi-objective optimization problem. It's not looking at one-dimensional constraints about capacity, but cost or anything. That's the key value proposition of OOF. I mean, the whole goal is to bring in business constraints and also sort of infrastructure constraints.
Ramki, I know it is OOF's job to ask, do I have capacity? I'm asking you, how are you planning? I'm trying to understand your proposal here. Is the proposal that OOF is, what is the capacity abstraction that you mentioned in the first bullet before we got into this? What is that? And tell me, describe it.
So the capacity abstraction would be a simple example which already exists today. What we do is, when you request for X number of CPUs and, you know, some amount of memory, we go check, for example, in a specific tenant, right? We're trying to deploy whether how much is available, right? How much of resources are consumed. So that's the report we do.
Slow down. How much is available, or is it a yes or no question? Do you have three?
So right now in R2, it's just a Boolean yes or no, whether it's meet or not. But now we will have sort of a expression on, basically be able to express how much is remaining, right? So you'll be able to express it as a percentage, sort of saying, hey, this is remaining. Correct. So the more, and then at that point you'll favor the cloud, which has more capacity, assuming you're comparing against capacity.
In addition, also the capacity is sometimes connected to the HPA, meaning you might have
I think it's okay. I mean, OOF is just a private.
Sorry. What I'm trying to say is that sometimes the capacity is tied with the capabilities, or the capabilities are tied with capacity, because you might have the capability in the region, but now the capacity from this specific hardware is exhausted, so you actually don't have the capacity for a specific hardware or
but right now, so it sounds like right now, and I'm trying to understand, right? So you're saying right now in Beijing, Ramki, OOF asks the cloud, here's what I need. I need three CPUs with SRV, with whatever. Do you have this? And it returns a yes or no. And you're saying the proposal is in Casablanca, it would no longer be a yes or no question. It would be, here is what I, instead of asking, do you have this, yes or no, it would be, tell me what you got. And it would say, oh, right. I've got 25% of my total capacity free, which is, you know, 150 CPUs. Is that?
Exactly, yeah.
And you're saying OOF is going to remember that, oh, this guy had 150 CPUs, so that when the next request comes in, I don't need to ask him again?
This is sort of where what would happen is we're trying to express this as sort of a net value to OOF. So basically, we'll run a simple objective function and then say, hey,
Ramki, this is Shankar here. Just to clarify a few things here, right? I don't quite know if we are planning to have OOF maintain memory about what is available capacity, right? Mm-hmm. What we really talked about was the notion that there will be a value that is associated with a given capacity check, right? And when I mean capacity check, this is not just capacity, right? It's basically asking a question whether these set of requirements, which could be a combination of capacity and capability, that can be accommodated by a given Vim instance, and there is a cost to realizing this intent, right? And that is what is returned to OOF. And based on that cost value, OOF would then find out what is the least cost option and then provide that as a recommendation for orchestration.
Right. I see, Shankar. So you're saying that, you know, you're trying to solve the problem. I've got three edge clouds. One of them is almost full, and the other two are quite empty, and I can use any of them. And you're trying to figure out, how does OOF choose which edge cloud to use, because we want to keep the one that's almost full we don't want to use the last ounce of capacity on that one.
Exactly. So it's some cost value that captures the aggregate utilization and says, here is the most promising choice, given there are multiple options.
And you're relying on the cloud provider to tell you the cost. You aren't trying to calculate it based upon maintaining an internal capacity.
Not right now. Definitely not.
Okay, I understand.
It's slightly different than what's being done today within eComp or slash ONAP, Gil.
But why do you guys say that the cost is calculated by the cloud region? I thought the multi-cloud adapter was doing the cost calculation, Shankar.
Yeah, the cost calculation is done by the multi-cloud adapter. It is just returning a value that will be then utilized by OOF to exercise a certain optimal choice.
Gil's question, the cloud region is not returning a cost. The cloud region is returning the raw values of available capacity.
The multi-cloud layer would be returning a value associated with a cloud region, right?
To OOF, correct.
OOF, that's what I meant, yes.
Okay, so you're saying it's ONAP. So ONAP is taking on the responsibility of determining, doing capacity management stuff for the cloud.
Across cloud regions.
Well, not really. I mean, so you're saying that, okay, so it sounds like, so if I've got three clouds, one is in New York, you know, with high real estate value. And so let's say I want to use every ounce of that one. And one of them is in, I don't know, across the river in a warehouse district of New Jersey. And, you know, it's a development zone, right? So I guess CPUs are cheaper there. And I have a bigger edge. I don't know.
Exactly.
Multi-cloud is the one that's going to have the policies that determine, well, which one of these do we want to use?
Today, right? And that's where the discussion went, where Shankar's original point was that we need to know, ONAP needs to know the presence or the availability of those two physical DCs and the details of those physical DCs today. But what we were discussing also is that in the future, that kind of awareness of the two physical DCs and the awareness of the details would be offloaded to the cloud orchestrator, if you will. That is the future. And then the cloud orchestrator can then return the cost saying, I can support you, but it may not tell you it's across the river or on this side of the river.
I see. Okay. So in Casablanca, multi-cloud would be taking on some responsibility of what we think would be in the future be provided by the cloud provider themselves.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's right, Gil.
I've caught up. Okay, great. Sorry.
Like, that's what Gil, we have been talking about the separation of concerns, right? We don't want to expose cloud-specific information. I mean, if possible, abstract it away from ONAP, right? But still bring value.
And that's the figure that we were showing in the first Gliffy, where we said option A, Casablanca, directly talking to the physical DCs. But in the future, it would go to that green thing.
Okay, I'm caught up. All right, sorry about that. Thank you.
Okay, excellent. Thanks, Gil. I'm glad. Yeah, we went through several of these discussions, by the way, so no problem.
Many hours. Yep.
Thanks for staying on this. Yeah, it's because any new thinking always it takes time, right? To
The only point I would add is that in the existing, and this is the reason that I was that I was discussing it yesterday at our working session. Within eComp, the inventory is basically baseline when a new cloud site is brought online. So the available inventory is already baselined within ANAI.
And the inventory
in eComp, but
inventory details would be like the complete infrastructure detail, right? Meaning
absolutely, and then it derives the number of VMs and the flavors and so on and so forth from the physical inventory.
So,
And you can treat the same way if it is a public cloud. You can say, okay, somebody else, Vimal has created the VPC with gazillion, CPUs and everything, and you onboard it into ANI. That's your starting state.
Yeah, absolutely. Except with the public cloud,
this could also be sort of then viewed as being multi-cloud can talk even to an internal endpoint. I mean, assuming that internal endpoint is this proposal is easily, workable.
Yeah, the only point I'm highlighting is that with the public cloud, you need to ask the question first. You know, here's what I want, and do you have it? And the answer may come back, yes, I do, or no, I don't.
Correct. Same logic. I mean, the starting point, Shakar, is small, simple, right? We're starting with sort of a VPC or tenant with sort of some quota out there, right?
Full agreement. I'm just highlighting. Full agreement. I'm just highlighting the differences. That's all. Okay.
Sure. Excellent. So now that we're completely caught up on this, so just going back to the picture, right, where we're talking, so in the workflow, so the next slide. So really what we're saying is, so one second, I'm trying to have to play between the sizes. So many of you are very familiar with this picture. So basically, if you look at a cloud region orchestrator, right? I mean, if you walk into public cloud, none of this overlay, underlay, or gateway is exposed. But if you go back to a private cloud, right? What we are really saying is, we talked about how the multi-cloud layer can help in the smart decisioning, correct? So basically, basically be aware of cloud resources and helping the fine-grained decisioning. So for example, what would happen is, an exhaustive data model for overlay, underlay, gateway networking is beneficial to optimized inter-cloud placement like we talked about now. It could mean, for example, knowing about details about SmartNIC, SROV, and other things, right? Or how the overlays are realized. For example, is there a DPDK-based overlay? So in this model, if you really look at it, so then inside the, I mean, this is really ONAP multi-cloud, and this line is a demarc, right? Cloud region orchestrator is outside of ONAP clearly, like we've been discussing. And there essentially that cloud region orchestrator from a networking perspective talks to overlay controller, underlay controller, and gateway controller. And overlay could be exposing capabilities such as SROV SmartNIC, right? And
Ramki, these 3A, some people might have just a single controller doing both overlay.
No, absolutely. Again, that's why we're saying show below is an example hierarchy. That's all. It's an example hierarchy. We are not saying that this is the only way to do it. Yeah. This is exemplary. Very, very clear. Agreed.
Yeah. From the ONAP multi-cloud perspective, they call the cloud providers provided API to do
that. Oh, yeah. And Vimal, to your point, if you walk into public cloud, that's what this is completely abstracted. It all come from one, right? Correct. All we're saying is this is an implementation possibility, and we'll also see how it can reflect in terms of, the next step, right? When you put all the pieces together end to end.
There was some concern because they saw these current names and said, we are adding 3 more controllers in ONAP. I said, no, we are not adding any more controllers.
No, exactly. That's exactly right. So the position is very clear. It's an example hierarchy of cloud controllers in a cloud region, in a private cloud. Okay, so with that, what would happen? So essentially, how will the architecture picture look like, right? So I'm trying to play between the sizes. So pardon me. Okay, so... So really what we're saying is, so basically, if you look at the end-to-end picture, and we thought the OLTI use case is a good way to demonstrate this end-to-end mapping. So OLTI, so you have a cloud region orchestrator, then you have a gateway controller, underlay controller, and overlay controller, right? And that part is coming controlled by ONAP multi-cloud, right? And then now, I mean, again, through SO or VFC, there are two paths possible depending on the use cases. I mean, in this case, specifically, it will go through SO VFC because it's a OLTI use case. But this is also generic enough to apply for other use cases, which, are more e-com based, for example, any 5G use case, for example. And also, ONAP SDNC will talk to the third-party WAN controller, which will configure the PE devices. And our goal is to make sure that we maintain a clean separation of concerns. I mean, the gateway is nothing other than a customer edge router, right? It's nothing other than that. I mean, this is nothing new. So the separation of concerns, ONAP multi-cloud is, so the cloud region orchestrator is managing the SDN GC, UC, and OC. And GC, the gateway controller, is managing the gateway, which is nothing other than a customer edge router, talking to a provider edge router, which is managed by a third-party WAN controller, right, through ONAP SDNC. And here on the left side on the edge, similar configuration, but it didn't want to duplicate. And we do want to say that, of course, the P gateway to PE, the most preferred option is eBGP, eVPN. I mean, of course, the whole reason for this is when you're saying talking VXLAN, is really be able to seamlessly stretch overlay across, you know, all clouds, right? I mean, that's really the key requirement, top down. It's not about VXLAN, but it's about overlay. You want to go beyond the 4K VLAN limitation and be able to seamlessly stretch overlay across, you know, different clouds, right, from an operator perspective. And of course, eBGP, eVPN would be one of the options between gateway and PE, or gateway to gateway. But there could also be other options which are possible, like MPE, eBGP, inter-AFs. And again, this is not an exhaustive list. There could be other options to, you know, consider.
So just a quick question. So the line between ONAP MC, a multi-cloud, and the cloud region orchestrator, that line is part of what you're trying to define as part of this edge cloud. You know, what are the requirements for that API? And you're saying that there's among the things that are going to be required in Casablanca for that API is give me your capacity. Tell me what your total capacity is, available capacity. And we think in the future that maybe that won't be needed because you'll be talking to something more intelligent that would just be able to give you a cost as opposed to giving you a capacity.
It could be possible in the future. So basically, you know, we're starting now here, but it all depends on what the cloud region orchestrator could provide. It could be, we're also seeing a scenario, Gil, where essentially if you look at sort of a federation, right? I mean, the cloud region orchestrator itself can perform federation. As an example, there are several cloud regions, and then the orchestrator is a federator, which is managing these multiple cloud regions in the edge. Even more practical example in 5G, you walk into sort of multiple distributed data center locations. There are three cloud regions managing those, and then those three all fall into a metro, for example, maybe a New York metro, right? And then now the cloud region orchestrator itself could be the federator across all cloud regions, and then ONAP could be talking to that orchestrator, Uber orchestrator, and say, hey, I want to deploy my 5G CUUP somewhere, right? I mean, it'll also have the flexibility of, you know, essentially saying, hey, I want to do a latency bounded placement, but also be able to pinpoint to a specific location. It's totally possible, right? We're not precluding that.
So rather than asking open-ended question like what's the capacity, we can ask, I need 10 server of flavor A, do you have? So correct. It's very specific, and they could say yes or no, or they can give the cost, yes, I have it, but the price is very high because it's prime time or whatever is the reason. So
API itself, Vimal. Yeah. The current API is actually fully expressive of the each one. So basically it says DNF, and then right now, you know, even right now for R2, we do have separate, metrics tracking amount of CPUs requested, amount of RAM requested, amount of disk requested. And later when you're expanding, say, to more hardware-specific capabilities, we're going to say exactly how many SRIO VFs we need. That's a thought process.
Do we still ask what's your capacity, and is that a fair question, or will they answer that question?
Well, I don't think that's a fair question. I think it depends on the relationship. It depends on the relationship between the ONAP orchestrated owners or operators, and also whoever is talking to. If there are very friendly relationship, then maybe you can ask what is your total capacity, but it is very unlikely.
Yeah, that's what
I think we are not talking about total capacity here. Let's be careful. There is an assumption always. Let me back up here. First, to clarify for Gil, the term cloud region at this point in time is still a physical DC. We are trying to expand it to one or more physical DCs later on. To answer Vimal's point about what is the type of question that is being asked, it all depends on how the business model works. There is an initial business agreement or setup of an equivalent of a VPC in AWS, for example, right? Somebody sets it up. and then ONAP then uses the VPC. So expanding the VPC or creating the VPC might be an offline interaction. When I say offline, offline with respect to ONAP, ONAP only knows what the current state is. And I'm not sure if Vimal, you're trying to expand the interaction to include initial configuration, meaning what the VPC or the cloud region configuration is for this ONAP service provider.
I think we're just trying to understand what is that. So okay, my understanding of the really interesting question that we all have to solve is what is that API between ONAP MC and the cloud region to meet the needs of an edge cloud? And I think I heard you say that we think in the Casablanca timeframe, that line into multi-cloud needs to be able to accept something, some set of data from the cloud itself, so that multi-cloud can calculate a cost. I thought I heard you say that some information needed in order to calculate a cost was a percent available capacity, you know, versus how much capacity we need to consume in ONAP. But now I'm not quite sure. So what is
that is exactly, so let me clarify that example. That's exactly where we're headed, because you take public or private, right? So private example, like OpenStack, right? So we are talking about tenants here, tenant or OpenStack project, and it can report the number of CPUs available, amount of memory available or disk available today, right? And how it's being consumed, right? So that's what we'll be using for capacity check. Likewise, to then going back to specifically to the VPC example, which Raghu brought up, the same thing is available because you are configuring a VPC and you're in control of it. You can get usage statistics from it. That's sort of the simple starting point we're thinking.
Gil, maybe you can split your question as day zero versus day one. Day zero is
Casablanca. I was thinking Casablanca. What is? I'm not sure what day zero. So Casablanca timeframe. What
in Casablanca, the day zero assumption is there is an infrastructure that is already allocated to Casablanca. Now all we are trying to do is poll what is the state of that infrastructure. If you, for example, you start with 100 VMs. What is the state of that 100 VMs? Is it 50 VMs used or 20% used or whatever it is?
So how much do I have left? So you're assuming there's something underneath multi-cloud that can answer the question, who knows who I am? I am on an app. And how much do I have left?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. So Raghu, I think, I mean, I'm not against this model, but why don't you guys look into the interlude model? You have initially had an agreement to say, look, I can provide the X resources now, and you can go up to maximum such and such resources. You already know what your limits are to begin with. Why aren't you using the similar model here? What is the problem?
You're coming across very muffled, Mehmet. Can you move your mic a little bit far away and then repeat, please?
My apology. You know, I'm using the cell phone and the otherwise I have to go to another room. My point is, if you look at the interlude model, in the interlude model, we have an agreement. An agreement says, these are your lower bounds and these are your upper bounds. And I'm just wondering, why can't we utilize the same model over here? Let's say your lower bound is 2 virtual CPUs and upper bound is 10 virtual CPUs. I'm making it up. So therefore, you really know what your bounds are to operate. You don't have to go through these negotiations and conflict.
Okay, so to answer your question, good. So the bounds are day zero in my information, meaning this is what I've agreed to. But what I'm interested now with this particular API that we are discussing right now is what is the current utilization within those bounds? Meaning if I had ordered 100 CPUs as bound, upper bound, but today I'm now using 25 and I have 75 left, and I want to know that 75 is available in that particular cloud region, right? And that information with additional information is then used by multi-cloud adapter to return a reference value back to OOF for OOF to do its optimization across multiple cloud regions in order to select what the optimal cloud region is, right? Okay.
So this is like a status update.
It's a status reporting. It's like you go to AWS mm-hmm. and you get your monitoring report, for example, and you know what the result is. So that's what you're focused on.
Okay.
Hey, Ramki, could you go back to the picture, Ramki?
Sorry?
Parvi. Could you go back to that picture that you were showing?
Oh, okay. 1 second. Yeah.
Because I was supposed to send you something last night. I want to get clarification from people on this call. The picture.
Okay.
I think Parvis is still on the 56K baud modem, I think. So we need to go ahead.
And then the third, there is no third party anything here.
No. My point is the following. Okay, you have that gateway, the SDN, the gateway controller. I do remember for Volte use case, there was an option that gateway could be supplied by a network vendor, not necessarily by the cloud provider. So the question for the team is, even though this is an example scenario, and thanks, Ramki, you put other options there. So to generalize this, you may also include the option that the gateway could be supplied by a network vendor, not necessarily the cloud provider. In that case, I was wondering if that gateway controller would be like a downstream controller of the SDNC. That clarification I need to get at least from Huawei, but from other network vendors. Yeah.
But Parviz, it already has an arrow, let's say ONAP-NC talking to third party, VAN controller talking to the gateway. So it depends on what gateway we are using.
Yeah.
The way I mean, there's already there's an edge on the network and there's an edge on the cloud. There's got to be two edges. And it doesn't make sense, I don't think. Does it for the cloud edge to be provided by the network provider?
No. Again, look at the dash box. The dash box includes the gateway, which is fine. That is one option. But I recall from the earlier discussion on Volte use case that even in the case of like China Mobile, those gateways could be supplied by some vendor, not necessarily the cloud provider. Okay. So now the question is, would that gateway would be orchestrated by a controller, like a third-party controller, which is so below Parvis, the SDNC.
Yeah, Parvis, you need to frame the question in terms of the controller. Frame the question in terms of an ONAP service provider versus a cloud provider. And so the question then, problem statement then is,
you're right.
Who is managing the gateway, right? In this example, the cloud provider is quote unquote managing the gateway, but
that's why I agree. Yeah.
If the network provider, the ONAP provider, offers a managed service to the cloud, then the gateway could be considered a managed element as part of the network provider. So those are different business models.
I think we have to think about phasing too. What we're talking about in Casablanca is essentially connecting up through multi-cloud, just like any other data center is today. So some of these managed services are a little further out, and I think we have to be careful that we think about the phasing as we're planning out the architecture.
So Chris, the other option that is mentioned, look at the PE gateway. Those options, we can expand that, as you said. So the gateway contained within that cloud provider domain, that's one option. The other option, as Raghu, you said, there's another option that we need to consider,
it's outside the scope of this particular focus that Ramki wanted to highlight. So we'll probably take that in another discussion topic,
Mm-hmm. Because here it's really trying to express the separation of concerns, right, between cloud provider and
I agree. But to your other option, I was wondering if the Volte use case today, I recall based on the discussion I had with some other folks in the past, I recall those gateways are not necessarily provided by the cloud providers, by the network, ONAP network provider.
But the other way to view this in purpose is slight
tweak to this picture will exactly deliver what you want. You could say that there are two gateways, right? So basically, yeah, there is one part which is internal to the cloud provider, right? But then the other gateway is outside as a part of a managed service, and that could be managed by SDNC. It's sort of implied, I think, correct? Basically, then it still keeps the demarc and separation of concerns.
Right.
Correct. There could be two gateways, for all you know. At some point, there has to be a demarc, right? Correct.
Yeah, you're right. So that clarification should be captured somewhere, or we don't need that. That's what my question.
At least to me, it would probably confuse this is a reasonable standard representation. I mean, at least, right? Correct. I mean, it's all we're not doing anything new here. All we're saying is sort of how clouds and cloud providers and network providers work, and the gateway is nothing other than a customer edge router, right? As simple as that. Correct.
I want to add that in the use case in the CNCC lab, that's what Pavis described. Basically, the gateway is controlled by the SDNC actually directly, because that gateway has a standard API, so there's no controller in between. SDNC just implemented that interface directly and control that gateway on the DC.
Yeah. Thank you for clarification. Thank you.
And the question would be, you know, in the CMCC case, is there a distinction between a cloud provider and a WAN provider? No, right? It's all one big provider. It's all internal domains, correct?
Yeah, in that case,
there is no quote-unquote separation of concerns, if you will, right? And so maybe that's a different model.
Correct.
In that case, DC and also the network are all controlled by CMCC, so there's no,
exactly,
no third party.
Yeah.
Jim,
I guess we got the clarification already, so that is already recorded. So I'm okay with that.
Okay, perfect. Excellent. Awesome. So on one line expression, do we want to send something to you, Chris, on this whole topic?
Yeah, why don't we discuss it on the call first, because I want to make sure that we have some consensus from the team on that one line, and then we can put it in the deck.
Okay.
So do you have a proposal for how we express that?
I'm thinking in real time, so
Ramki, we can draft something and then put it on the email. Chris, is that okay or what?
That's okay. Let's try to close on this quickly, because I'd like to take this to the TSC as soon as possible for feedback in case we have to make any adjustments. Why don't we do this? Let's close on this by next Tuesday. And then I'll plan to take the final deck to the TSC a week from Thursday.
And Chris, the sentence that you want is on the intent API between SO and multi-cloud, or the...
No, OOF and multi-cloud. OOF and
multi-cloud. Or are you requesting a sentence on the picture that you're seeing?
So it's a sentence on... how we represent what we need to do for Casablanca to support this. So it's that OOF and multi-cloud link.
Yeah, and
can it be like a couple of bullets?
We need to add.
Can it be a couple of bullets, or for example, Chris, like one way to look at this is maybe this is a better expression, right? So you know, something like a value. Is that, or what are we looking at?
Yeah, we could. We could do something like this with the bullets. That's fine. Just keep it short. And I want to make sure that we have consensus before we add it to the deck.
But not of a value statement, but more of an architecture statement, a few bullets. Correct.
Right.
Yes. Okay.
Which is your first bullet under phase one?
Yeah. Yep.
Ramki, come down just a bit.
Yep.
There, assist OOF and target cloud region.
Yeah,
exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, So then it could be this plus, yeah, a couple of bullets summarized like this, including the architecture proposal. So basically 2-3 bullets. Yeah.
Yeah. And remember, since we're already past M1, you know, for Casablanca, if you want projects to do anything, it already has to be in their roadmaps. So if it's more forward-looking, we've got to clarify that that's the case, that we want people thinking about this, but it's not. So
this one is a function requirement. It's approved and projects are tracking it in progress. There is commitment, so there is no challenge. Yeah. Chris,
great. Yeah. So we can definitely keep that in there. I haven't seen what else you're writing. So I just want to be very careful here that we're not putting additional requirements on the project that they're not expecting.
Okay.
Okay. Great. And we have about 10 minutes left. Any final thoughts, comments, or questions from the team before we break? Okay, I'll end a little bit early then. Thanks all for the good discussion. And we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you.
All right, bye now.
Thank you.